All right, we are in Romans chapter 11. And I'd like to take a pretty good hunk of this chapter here, right in around the middle third of the chapter. And let's begin reading in verse 13. And we're going to read through to verse 29. And you can tell right off the bat by the number of verses that we're going to be considering here that we're really not going to get too much more than knee-deep into any one of them, but I'm hoping that we can get something of a handle on this. What is not an easy passage, it is a controversial passage, and it's one that seems to be kind of in the air these days. A lot of people are talking about the olive tree and what it means and what it's talking about. So let's start reading in Romans 11 and verse 13. Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." All right. In what Paul is doing here, now we need to kind of back up, and we read a big piece of that to get a good chunk of the context, but I want to kind of even widen that context out further to start us off with. Here in this section of Scripture, in Romans 9, 10, and 11, we know that what the apostle is doing, he's speaking dispensationally about the nation of Israel and what has happened to them. They used to be God's chosen people. They don't appear to be anymore by the time you start moving through the book of Acts where this epistle to the Romans is written. So what happened to them, and what does that mean to the rest of the world, to the Gentile world? So Paul takes these three chapters in Romans 9, 10, and 11, and he talks about that, and he goes into great detail about the dispensational dealing of God with that nation and with the nations, the rest of the world. So we're coming here in this passage at the end of Romans 11 to the end of that discussion of that very deeply dispensational discussion. Now, the idea of the olive tree that takes up most of what we just read. Let's take a look first and get an idea. Look in Jeremiah chapter 11 and see where that idea comes from to start. Jeremiah and chapter 11. Isaiah, Jeremiah. If you're in the Psalms or Proverbs, you got to go a little further. Jeremiah chapter 11, you'll find Isaiah after that, and then Jeremiah after that. Jeremiah chapter 11. The Lord says to Jeremiah here in verse 14, "Therefore pray not thou for this people," talking about the same people, Israel, "neither lift up a cry or a prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. What hath my beloved to do in my house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken." So this is the passage that Paul kind of takes this idea of the olive tree. The olive tree is Israel there in Romans chapter 11. You can see that clearly here. And the idea of those broken off branches back in our passage in Romans chapter 11. When Paul says that we've got this olive tree with some branches broken off of it, what Paul is talking about in this section of the of his discourse in Romans, he's talking about the casting away of Israel, but he's making the point that the nation of Israel, the casting away of Israel, is partial and temporary. And that's the point of this olive tree passage, and it's important. If I was going to give a title to this message, it would be Paul's warning to the world. Because this is a dire and critical warning of the Apostle Paul to the world, to the Gentiles, believing, unbelieving, to the Gentiles, about their attitude toward that nation, toward Israel, and in particular, how they see themselves in relation to that nation. And Paul, this warning here, and we've seen as we read through it, has to do with some people getting cut off, right? These branches are broken off, and these other people are grafted in. And Paul says, don't be high-minded, but fear, because you can get into an understanding, into a doctrinal understanding about this that ends up with you getting cut off, he tells these people that he's talking to. Okay? So, we've seen that the olive tree is Israel, and that's kind of the big picture. We need to get that. Now, the next question is answered for us in verse 13. And the big controversial question on this passage, or one of them, is who is Paul talking to? When he says, thou art a wild olive tree, and thou shalt be cut off, and those kind, who's thou? Who is Paul talking to here? Well, for me, I'm not really sure why that question is all that controversial. Verse 13, to me, speaks pretty clearly. Who is Paul speaking to? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. So, people somehow go through this olive tree passage and they make the wild olive tree that's grafted in Israel or the believing remnant or something. When Paul clearly says here, I speak to you Gentiles. But I want you to see in verse 13, and this is critical to understand exactly who Paul's talking to and who he's talking about in this passage. He says Gentiles twice in verse 13. And that's important because that tells you who he's speaking to and who he's speaking about. First, he says, I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. So Paul has two different groups of Gentiles in mind here. One of them is you, Gentiles, that he's writing to. And the Gentiles who, of course, he's not just writing a personal letter here, this is in Scripture. So the Gentiles who would be reading this, who would be sitting there going, okay, he's talking to me. Believers, at least professed believers. The church, in the largest and loosest form of that word, what you and I would consider today Christendom. Okay? That's you, Gentiles. Gentiles who are going to be reading this, or at least know that it's in the Bible. And then there's the Gentiles. Because Paul's not just the apostle of saved Gentiles, right? He's the apostle of the Gentiles, of all Gentiles. So that is his audience. It's who he's speaking to and it's who he's speaking about. People say, is the wild olive tree the body of Christ? Well, it includes the body of Christ. That would be part of that you Gentiles. Who's he talking to specifically? He's talking to saved people. But he's warning this church, you Gentiles, about a fate that's going to come upon it if they take a certain mindset concerning the nation of Israel. He says, let's start out in verse 16 and work our way through here. So now we've got some background. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking about? Verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now the first fruit here, he's talking about the nation of Israel. That's what he's been talking about all down through. Look at verse 7, just so we know that. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So the nation of Israel as a whole is cut off, but some of them are believers in that believing remnant. That's why the casting away is partial. So we're talking about Israel here, and the first fruit of it in verse 16, and the root of it. Now the root of the nation of Israel is Abraham, right? Who's the beginning of that nation? He is, the prophet says, the rock from whence you, Israel, are hewed. Abraham is the root of that nation, and the first fruit are the fathers. We read in Deuteronomy that I'm bringing you into this land, God told them, so I can keep the covenant I made with your fathers. Because if the first fruit is holy, then the lump is also holy. The nation is counted holy because of the covenant God made with the first fruit of that nation, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12, the root being Abraham himself. So, and you get that, and that's controversial too, who the root is and so forth, but you get that in verse 28. Romans 11, verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they, the nation of Israel, are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. See, that's if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. They are beloved for the Father's sakes, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God counts the holiness of the root and the first fruit, and he attributes that to the rest of what Paul calls the lump, the rest, the nation. Okay, so we have that. We've established that. In verse 17, and I know this is a little like going to school, this is what you get for putting the Sunday school teacher up here at the, during the service. But like I said, you do want to understand this passage. Because, number one, people are talking about it, and if you have a chance to get into a conversation about it, it'll be good to have some familiarity. But primarily, because of the gravity of it, this is a severe warning from the Apostle Paul, primarily to the church. It's his warning to the world, to the Gentiles. But not just the Gentiles, you Gentiles. Okay? Verse 17, so if the first fruit's holy, the lump is holy. If the root's holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Now that those branches being broken off, we know what Paul is talking about in the context. If you just back up a few verses, in verse 11, Paul says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. So in verse 17, he says, the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in. So that's what Paul's talking about there, the fall of that nation, and the salvation of God then going out to the Gentiles. Now, that wild olive tree, hold your hand here and come back to Isaiah chapter 5 with me and get an idea of what that's talking about. The fifth chapter of Isaiah. You know, this passage for us, as you're turning there, has got a lot of practical application in it. It is heavily doctrinal in nature, and it's very serious in its tone. But the whole idea of not being high-minded, you know, Steve was saying in Sunday school this morning, we think about Demas. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and we kind of look down on Demas. He's known for the one who forsook Paul. And the brother made a good point. You know, rather than looking down on him, we ought to be looking back at ourselves. And he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, right? So, Paul says, don't be high-minded toward those people. And there's a reason for that. It's not just because it's not nice. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to be high-minded against that nation, and it's dangerous to be high-minded against Demas or against anybody else that you and I would like to be high-minded about. There's a danger in it. It's not just wrong. For you, it's dangerous. We'll see why. Isaiah chapter 5. Now this is speaking of Israel again as another tree. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it also, made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men in Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. See, the Lord plants this vineyard, and he fertilizes it, and he cares for it, and he gives it rain and sunshine, and he goes and looks for the good fruit of that, and it turns out to be what he calls wild fruit, bad fruit. And the idea there is that God did everything he could to put Israel in the best spiritual position, and still they chose to go astray, to take their own spiritual position. Well, again, we look at the nation of Israel and we say, yeah, those stiff-necked people. But you understand that the Gentiles did that thousands of years before,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And they were cast off long before Israel did what she did. So Israel is just catching up with your wickedness and mine, right? You Gentiles, right? But that's the idea of wild. You, Paul says, that Gentiles that he's speaking to back in our passage were a wild olive tree. That's talking about the spiritual condition of the Gentiles. The branches were broken off in verse 17, Romans 11, 17. And thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So now Paul says, and this is in this part of it here is what gives us grace folk fits, because what Paul is saying here is that the Gentiles are grafted into the nation of Israel. And people look at that and they take that away from this passage. The fact of the matter is that that's what Paul is saying here. But you need to understand it, what he means by that. Because what will happen is, if you misunderstand and misapply it, you will do exactly what Paul is warning you not to do in this passage. You will find yourself taking Israel's place, being the replacement for Israel. You heard of replacement theology, right? We are Israel. Israel's cast off. The branches are broken off. We're grafted in. We're the new Israel. That's exactly what Paul is warning against. He says, when you take that stand, you're going to be cut off. This is Paul's warning. Again, so we need to understand what he's talking about here. Now get two passages with me. Get John chapter 4 and get Acts chapter 28. John 4 and Acts 28. Paul says that you've been grafted into this olive tree and you partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Now, we've already seen the root of the olive tree, and you and I are our salvation is tied together with that of Abraham. Now look, while you're finding those two passages, let me say to you, you are not, when Paul goes on and he says, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee, and that you are a partaker of the root of this olive tree, you're not a partaker of the first fruits. Remember, there's the first fruits and there's the root. Who's the root? Abraham. Who's the first fruits? Isaac, Jacob, the 12, the fathers. The mistake people make is saying, well, we're partaker of the first fruits. No, you're not a partaker of Jacob, of Israel. You're a partaker of Abraham. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a reason why Jacob is Abraham's grandson and not his son. There's a generation between Israel and Abraham. So that you and I can be children of Abraham, Paul says, as Isaac was, and not be of the stock of Israel. Do you understand that? We go back to Abraham in our salvation. Paul says Abraham is the father of us all. So we share that. We're grafted in with them into that tree. And with them, we partake of that root. They partake of the blessing, what Paul calls the root and the fatness of that olive tree. All the blessing that's there in Abraham. The nation of Israel partakes of that. And the Gentiles partake of that. not just the church, not just you Gentiles, but the Gentiles. And you say, well, how do unsaved Gentiles partake of this root in fatness? Look here. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, the Lord is speaking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And she says in verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say, you Jews, say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Okay? When the Lord was here on earth, salvation was of the Jews. Listen, the way that God, since the nations of the world were cast off, the way that God has been saving mankind is rooted in what He did with that one man, Abraham. He justified him first by faith alone, and that's where you and I come in. Then by works under the covenant of circumcision, and that's where Israel comes in. That's why we both partake of the same root, because Abraham has a dual fathership. He is the father of us all, Paul says, not of they which are of the law only, but also of they who are of the faith of Abraham. So Abraham is the father of two groups: believing Israel and saved Gentiles, because he was justified under both situations. When you see yourself, and this is what Paul is warning here, as the replacement for Israel, what you've done is you've put yourself under the wrong fathership. You're not connecting yourself with Abraham as the father of those who believe, as the father of justification by faith alone. You're connecting yourself with Abraham under that covenant of works, of the law. You've become Israel. And when you do that, what you've done is you've left the faith. And you've put yourself, I'm Israel. Well, what does that mean? That means I'm saved by my faith plus all of these works and circumcision and these things. And what has the church done for these last 2,000 years? But exactly that. Amen. The church, again, you Gentiles, in the church, all of Christendom, believing, unbelieving, the vast majority of the church today is lost and hell-bound with that idea that we're Israel. And when you do that, you have by definition left faith. And you don't get salvation without that. Paul's not talking about, come on back, what do I have you? Acts 28. So in John, salvation's of the Jews. Now we know that there's a change by the time you get to the end of the book of Acts, right? Acts chapter 28, Paul is speaking. And he says, in verse 26, Acts 28:26, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people, and this people is Israel, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So in John chapter 4, salvation is of the Jews. By the time you get to Acts 28, the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. It leaves Israel. And it is sent to the Gentiles. But you want to notice, the salvation of God, verse 28, is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Do you see there that the salvation is sent to them before they hear it? Do you see that in the verse? He's not saying that all the world now is saved. Listen, when salvation was with the Jews, was every Jew saved?
No.
But they were enjoying the root and the fatness of that olive tree. They had that blessing with them, that Christ, God, was in their midst. They had the salvation of God was with them. Now, it's up to each and every individual, it always is, to receive and accept and acknowledge that salvation. It's the same way today. The salvation of God is with the whole world today. That's why Paul is talking to the world in our passage in Romans chapter 11. It isn't just the church that partakes of the root and fatness of the olive tree, just like it wasn't only saved Israelites that did. It was the whole nation, because God is dealing with them as a single unit, as a group of people. Today, He's dealing with the Gentiles in the same way. A single unit, the Gentiles, they have the salvation of God with them. And Paul says, they're going to hear it. Some of us hear it, some of us don't, right? But that the fact that the salvation of God is with the Gentiles today is that dispensational change back in Romans 11 that Paul has been talking about for three chapters here now. All right, now we need to move on. Romans chapter 11. Excuse me. So the branches are broken off in verse 17, and thou, Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them. Who was grafted in? The whole world. The whole world now is taking part in it. Listen, you had branches in this olive tree. You say, how can that be talking about the whole world? Everyone in the world is not saved. Again, let me ask you the same question. Was everyone in Israel saved?
No.
And yet they were branches in this olive tree. You understand what we're talking about? We're not talking about individual salvation. We're talking about, is the salvation of God with this group? Is it with this group? Is it with all of them? The whole world is grafted into this olive tree. You Gentiles and the Gentiles. Okay? I'm sorry about the sniffles. So he says, you've been grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Now, what he's saying there is, well, that's pretty self-explanatory. Don't get puffed up against that nation of Israel, because Abraham doesn't abide by you. You abide by what God did with him.
Yes,
and your salvation rests in what God did with that man, with the root of Israel. If Abraham wasn't justified by faith alone, you couldn't be either. Come back over to Romans chapter 4. Look at just a few pages back. Look at chapter 4. You need to see this. And this is, again, you know, us grace people, we get a little touchy about this stuff, because we don't like for there to be any connection. You and I, we're not grafted into nothing, you know. Well, Paul says the people he's talking to in that passage are. And he says, who's he talking to? I speak to you Gentiles. So for me, this isn't very controversial. It seems pretty clear. I understand why it gets murky, because we have these other issues that we need to kind of justify. You know, we have the rest of this kind of doctrinal structure that we need to shore up. So then we find a passage like this that seems to go against, you know, the things that we teach. And sometimes, unfortunately, people choose the doctrinal structure over the verses, in my opinion. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that if it's grace doctrine. Don't do that if it's any... Listen, you had to buck that whole idea to become a grace person, didn't you? Don't let the grace movement become the next dead denomination. All right? Romans chapter 4. Paul says, talking about Abraham in verse 11, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." Now, do you see that? Abraham, it's because of what God did with Abraham that righteousness can be imputed to you and me. And so he's the father, he's our father, and the father of the circumcision. To them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, yet being uncircumcised. Drop down into verse 16. "Therefore," talking about our salvation now today, "it is of faith that it might be by grace." Why is salvation by faith and by grace today? "To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." So, the reason that salvation is by grace through faith today is so we could be put into Abraham.
Amen.
Is so that the promises that were made to him, listen, not the land and all of the physical earthly blessings, but the fatness of that olive tree, salvation, righteousness, a position before God, can be ours. The only way it can be ours is through Abraham. That's why it has to be by grace through faith. You see, we have a strong connection to the root. Not the first fruits. You're not Israel. But you are the seed of Abraham. Isaac was not Israel, but he was the seed of Abraham. You and I are as Isaac was, the children of promise. Okay? Back in chapter 11. I know, you didn't ask for all this on a Sunday morning. That's all right. Romans 11 again. So boast not against the branches there in verse 18. Abraham, you stand in Abraham. Verse 19, "Thou wilt say then..." Now look what the... "Thou wilt say," when thou starts boasting against the branches. "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." That's what you're going to say when you start boasting against those branches. When you don't realize that the cutting off of the nation of Israel, it was partial and temporary. That some of the branches were broken off. And that, as he says in verse 25, blindness in part has happened to Israel until. So it's partial and it's temporary. It's in part and it's until. God is not done with that people. So when you start getting that idea that he is, that they're gone, you're going to say the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Now what you're saying is, I'm Israel's replacement. They are broken off, and I take their place. Paul says, watch what he says. Watch his response to that. The first thing he says in verse 20 is, "Well." Now, in other words, you've said truly. Now, what they said truly is that the branches were broken off. What they missed was the reason. And watch Paul correct them. Because of, why were the branches broken off? Verse 19, "Those who are boasting against the branches say it was so that I could be grafted in." Paul says, no. "Because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear." So you got the broken off part right. Yeah, they were broken off. But you got the reason wrong. You are not their replacement. They didn't... Remember what Moses told those people back in Deuteronomy in our scripture reading? Don't start getting the idea that God threw these people out because you're so wonderful and you're so righteous so that you could come in and take their place. God threw them out because what they did. You're on the receiving end of a blessing from God here. And that's the danger when you get high-minded. You start thinking of yourself, listen, what is high-minded? Again in verse 25, lest you be wise in your own conceits. What is it to be conceited? It's to think you're something you're not. And the church has been thinking it's something it's not for the last 2,000 years. It thinks it's Israel. And it's not. And for that reason, because of that high-mindedness, they've put themselves under... They've made themselves Israel. And the great and sad irony of that is that when you assume and take the mindset that you've taken Israel's place, you actually do. Because what is Israel's place today but fallen and cut off and broken? So you want to become Israel? That's what will happen. That's what will happen. You want to take Israel's place, God will let you. I'm not talking to saved people. I'm talking to you Gentiles. You understand? You understand? The church. Paul's warning to the church and to the world here. Don't get that replacement idea going. You are not Israel. And it'll be your death. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Now again, who is thou who, when he says, thou standest by faith? It's the world. So how did the world stand by faith? Most of the world are unbelievers. Again, most of the nation were unbelievers too. But they stood by the law and by the covenants and by the promises. The world doesn't have covenants and promises. All it has today is faith. That's what's offered to it, and that's what's required of it. Faith. Faith alone. And what Paul is saying here, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Those natural branches had covenants and promises. God swore to their fathers that they would enjoy this salvation and that their seed would be like the stars of the sky and would be the apple of God's eye. He promised them. And he's going to fulfill that promise. And yet, he cut them off because of their unbelief. Despite the promises and the covenants and all the, that he, that they had to claim, hold a claim on God, he was still able to, in righteousness, cut them off. Paul's saying, look, you Gentiles, you got none of that. You got no covenants. You got no promises. You stand by faith. And faith alone. And they were cut off for their unbelief. So don't you get all high-minded now, thinking that God is going to overlook your unbelief. You'll be cut off yourself. And again, the history of the church has proven this passage absolutely true. The church, by and large, is in fact cut off. Now, that idea, let me just say one thing about thou also shalt be cut off. In verse 17, some of the branches were broken off. Were those saved people that were broken off? They weren't saved, were they? Those were the scribes and Pharisees, the unbelieving nation, the ones that crucified Christ. Never did believe. Never were saved. People come into verses 22 and 23 here and they say, see, if you got to continue in His goodness, otherwise you're going to be cut off. Tell you can lose your salvation. What does it mean to be cut off from this olive tree? Does it mean to lose your salvation? Who was broken off?
Unbelievers.
So that tells me two things. Number one, it tells me that you cannot take this passage and say that believers can lose their salvation, because that's not what getting cut out of this olive tree means in the passage. The people who were cut out weren't saved to start with. And number two, it means that the people who are grafted in are not all saved.
Amen. That's right.
So this isn't the believing remnant of Israel, and it's not the church, and it's not, it is you Gentiles, and it is the Gentiles. It's the world that Paul's warning here. So he says, behold, therefore, in verse 22, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. That is a warning to you Gentiles, to the church. Don't depart from the goodness of God. You stay in faith. You stay in grace. Don't you go trying to take Israel's place. You'll be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the wild, the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now what Paul is talking about here is the same thing that he said in verse 11 and 12. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and that's that fatness of the olive tree, belongs to who? The world. And the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. And in verse 15, he says, if the casting away of them is the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? What Paul is talking about here is the end of this dispensation, when Israel is received again. He tells you that in verse 25. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And then all Israel is going to be saved. So when Paul talks here about being cut off, how were those branches cut off of this olive tree? They were cut off by a dispensational change. They were cut off by God changing the program. Salvation of God was with Israel. Then it wasn't. And those branches were cut off there. So these people here now who are being cut off in this passage, how do they get cut off? By a dispensational change. God, the salvation of God is with the Gentiles today. One day God's going to take that. And it's not going to be that way anymore. And the believers are going to get raptured out of here. And as pastor's been teaching out of the pastoral epistles, those guys like Janus and Jambres, their folly will be manifest to all men, and they will proceed no further. They're going to find themselves in that tribulation period. You want to take Israel's place? God will let you. God will let you. You're going to be cut off. And they can get grafted back in again. That's what the next dispensation is all about. Purifying that nation and then getting them back into the fatness of that olive tree. Verse 25. Verse 24, basically what he's saying there is, look, the promises were made to Abraham and to his seed, his natural seed. God, through the wisdom of God, he worked out a way that that could apply to you. But the literal understanding of those promises was to that physical nation. So if God could get you in, how much easier will it be for him to take the natural branches and put them back into their own olive tree? That's what Paul's talking about here. Don't think God's done with that people. He's not. I know I got to quit. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Don't be high-minded. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. See, there again, when are your sins and mine taken away? They're taken away the moment you believe, right? You want to put yourself in a position of a people who have to wait for when their sins are going to be taken away? As concerning the gospel, that is this dispensation, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they're beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And listen, if I can draw one application that I'd like to walk away with from this, besides the doctrinal value of it, you see what God goes through to keep his covenant and his promises with these people. I mean, earth-shifting dispensational changes and movements in nations to keep covenant with these people. He makes a promise, he keeps it. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God has given grace to you and me. And he sealed you into this body, right? So that gives us some comfort. And this passage here, you want to take this warning, take it for what it's worth and for what it says. You and I are not Israel, and when we start thinking that we are, take a look at the buildings, steeples, cathedrals full of dead, dying, lost, hellbound people all over this world and see what happens. That's Paul's warning. And I'll leave it there. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this book and for giving us understanding of the things that you're doing. And Father, I pray that we would take these things to heart. And as we have opportunity to reach in to these morgues and bring some life to some souls through your revelation and by your Spirit, I pray that we would take those opportunities every time that we have them. And we thank and praise you in our Savior's name. Amen.
Yes, it is a little.